Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I would first like to speak about two different functions of a good disciple, and then I would like to speak about three roles or functions of the spiritual master, and then relate all this to us. When we join a movement, we also join a multi-guru society, if you so wish. Before Srila Prabhupada left this planet, he instructed certain individuals to take up the responsibility of guiding the devotees after his departure. And then he had said already to various individuals they would he would expect them to be gurus in the future, and he also said that those who are qualified can take up this role. So how do we deal with the other spiritual masters? Discussions like this have been going on since a long time. You know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the world, various of his disciples took on the role of gurus, and there were many gurus in the post-Chaitanya eras. And one of them sat down and wrote down rules which were accepted. And this book, which we have also quoted in various times in our society, is called Krishna Bhavanamrita, the nectar of worshipping Krishna in the future. There, the author, Narahari, makes a prediction. He says, in the future, in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there will be trouble. And the troubles can only be overcome by one thing and one thing alone. That is the love which we have seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spreading, the unconditional love which he spread is the cure. And that movement in the future of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can only stay together. In other words, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas can only stay together if they learn to love and if they learn to distribute the love to others. I thought this was a very realistic prophecy. Yes, there will be different you know, Kali Yuga is also there. There will be different disagreements, but they all must be overcome with only one solution. by showing that love. Prabhupada is famously quoted by saying, your meetings and your resolutions and your revolutions will not really help you. You should sit together and chant. He had faith that when we chant together, something can be generated beyond all our differences, differences of personalities, differences of perspectives, and etc. Love can be generated. So in this little book, this amazing author, Narahari Chakravarti Thakur is his full name, wrote how to deal with the various levels of various gurus. He said your guru is like a father for you, but the father has brothers, god brothers, which should also be respected. He said, see, you know, see, look, as the father is an authority, so are his older and younger brothers. Still, the father is more worshipable, even though they are related. So yes, we should have a wonderful relationship. We should hear from the other spiritual masters. We should have great respect for them. We have one family, and then he says, but you have your Diksha Guru, that who has given you initiation, and that is, he is very important. Then he spoke about how the guru of one's own guru should be seen. He said, in the same way, the father of the father is more worshipable, even though they are related. In the same way, the father of the father, or the guru of the guru, is twice worshipable. This behavior is accepted by all. In other words, all of us, God brothers, we have one father. He is your grandfather, technically speaking, and he is to be considered with utmost respect. We see this in the Mahabharata, where grandfather Bhishma, who is the grandfather of both the Kauravas and the Pandavas, is there. And he, in the book Bharata, Mahabharata, I'm just reading this version of Krishna Dharma, a very nice version I find. He is, when Grandfather Bhishma speaks, wow, the world is silent, everyone listens, what does he say? So this, we have also, said many times, Srila Prabhupada, who saved me, is to be considered by my disciples as the grandfather, as more worshipable, most respectable, more respectable than I am. Good. Now I would like to speak about three classical roles which the guru takes in our life. Don't worry, it will not be too complicated. I will bring everything to one point. It sounds a little complicated, I know. Listen and you will understand. Very often the guru is described to be a transparent via media. Via media is a Latin word. It refers to something where you can see through, like a window. We discussed this in one of the lectures. So he is a mediator between God and man. You can please him, and God is pleased, and you can displease him, and God is displeased. This is the idea which is described in the Guru Vashtakam prayers, which many of us chant every day. You remember? Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadana gati gatopu. No, when you have them, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadana gati gatopu, dayam stuvams yasya, yasya sandhyam, vande guru shri charana. When the spirit of master is pleased, the Lord is pleased, and if he's not pleased, the Lord is not pleased. This idea we find in our tradition. He's the mediator, an in-between person who helps us to get him. Prabhupada has given for this function the analogy of the viceroy. There was the British crown. When England was the really Great Britain, a mighty empire, a lion, and England had different colonies and attached to it, and under its rule, one of them was India. Up to the day when India reached its independence, and many other colonies, all of them actually, have separated from the British crown. So England is no longer a lion, but a little pussycat. I hope I will still be allowed to enter Great Britain. No, this is a political world, always changing. So, but in the times of old, when India was under the British rule, the king, King George was one king, I remember, had a viceroy, a representative, whom he would send to India, and he would do the various activities of the British crown in India. He would receive taxes, he would solve problems which would arise in polity, you know, the way it was, India was ruled by the British. He was an in-between man, you know? And if you would give your taxes to the viceroy, it would automatically go to King George. So in this is an analogy I'm sure you all have heard from Prabhupada. The guru is a mediator between God and man. This role is not without, let me say, intellectuals have and pious people have addressed this role and said, do we really need someone in between God and the living entity? There was a whole revolution in Germany done by Martin Luther, who was against the idea of an in-between person and so on. But I'm saying traditionally, this concept is there. No? Another role of the guru, which is there in the tradition, is that he is a preserver of a tradition. Sundarananda's question had this element in it, this role of the guru. No, he comes in a parampara, in a line of spiritual masters, and he is representing that line, that school, so to say, that tradition. There is this concept that the spiritual master must always stay within the limits of this tradition, that checks him also, so that we always know if someone goes out of this circle of the tradition, then we become skeptical. There's the guru, he must be in line with the sadhus, the saints, present saints and saints who came before him, and he must be in line with the Shastra, this, uh, the scripture. I have a very philosophical god brother who left his body. He said, "Nothing is mine, not a single letter. Nothing comes from me, not a single letter." The guru, in other words, gives us the same philosophy, the same mantras, and as has been given by his tradition of the Guru Parampara. He preserves the tradition. That's another role of the guru, the preserver of a tradition. Now we come to a third rule. A role. He teaches by example. He is a teacher. A good story which you will have heard about it is that there came once a desperate mother to a saint and said, "Please, my son has diabetes. If he eats sugar, he will become very ill and at the end kill himself. So please tell him he should stop eating sugar. He doesn't listen to me, but I think he will listen to you. He has respect of saints." That saint said, "Come back after 1 week." After 1 week, the mother came back with the child. They sat down, and the saint said in strong words, looking in the eyes of his of this young boy, "Henceforward, from this day on, never eat sweets again." The boy went, yes, no sweets. The mother looked at the saint and said, "Why didn't you tell this 1 week ago? This is a simple sentence." And see, he's so effective. The boy is nodding his head. He said he will not eat sweets. "Why did we have to wait for 1 week and come back?" The saint said, "Well, 1 week ago, I myself ate lots of sweets. I first had to stop eating sweets myself, and then I could tell it with authority and power to your son." So this is this same idea we find in the guru. He teaches by example. Yeah, his words are powerful because, yes, he is himself following what he is teaching, and through him speak more than an information. Through him comes also the strength to follow that what he has just now said to us. The teacher teaches usually in public readings or public lectures, like we are used to. He will teach. In the old times, he had an ashram and he would teach his students every day. That's a role. He teaches by publications. He writes books, and he also teaches by private instructions when there's a deep question, a difficult question, and we require an answer, really a difficult answer. Not how many verses are in the Bhagavad Gita, you can count the verses yourself, but a really life deciding question, no? By personal or private instructions. Where do I fit in? I always see myself in the third category most. I definitely have to look at preserving the tradition. I definitely have to also see that I'm showing the way to Krishna, to my disciples. I'm in this way the first tradition or first traditional role mediator has to be covered, but I really feel that of all the roles, my primary focus has always been on being a teacher, the third role. This is because Prabhupada had told me so in a personal meeting with him. He said, I should be a good student and a good teacher. No, he had told this to me, and he explained what he meant. I feel that I received a great gift by Srila Prabhupada and his tradition, the parampara, a great gift which helped me to become, not helped me, which brought me into life, spiritual life. I was really like a spark which had fallen out of the fire, dead, but Prabhupada engaged me in Krishna consciousness since a long, many, many years now, and I feel I'm really coming alive, a spark which has entered the fire. And it is really amazing when you become older. You know, I think it starts to work after 45 years, you know, in my case at least. It works also in the very beginning, but after some time, there are so many things which start to open up as one is older. So many realizations, so many things which one perceives as clear as the hand before the eyes. It is really a wonderful gift, not a one-time gift, but a gift which seems to develop more and more and blossom more and more. It's almost like a gift of a little, you know, flower, and starts to grow and grow and grow, and all of a sudden has more flowers and everything is there. And I wish to share this gift with others. Those who are closely associated with me know. When I go shopping, I will also preach to the people. I mean, I don't go shopping. That's what the devotees do. You know, they buy potatoes and what we need to eat. No, but when I travel in the train, or when I am in the airport, people stop and I stop with people, and I want to share. It is a natural desire, because when someone has such wonderful gift, he wants to share it with others. And I have personally seen in my life that this works also. The gift is so wonderful that if I give something from it, it begins to work in the life of others. I was amazed. I want to tell you something which really confirmed me in the role of the teacher. I was in one airport waiting. I believe it must have been Moscow. I was very tired after having, you know, in Russia there are always so many devotees, you can't believe how many devotees are there. And then they mostly want to speak to you also after the program. So I was really tired. And in the airport, I was a little bit sitting and just waiting and just relaxing a little. Then a well-clad Indian gentleman came to me and said, "May I disturb you?" I looked at him and went, but you know how Indians are. and by the way, this can also mean yes, you know. Isn't it like they have some muscle here and it shakes? It can mean yes or no, as you interpret it. So he interpreted my shaking of the head as yes. Must have been. He was a polite gentleman, very cultured. And he said, "You saved my life." I said, "I don't know you. How could I save your life?" "No, no, no, no. In the year 1979, you were taking a bath in the Ganga in Sridhar Mayapur. And I was young, and I was foolish. And I came to you just because I saw there was a white man taking a bath. Let me talk to a white man. Well, out of curiosity. And when you came out of the Ganga, you came just out, you opened your arms like this and said to me, "Chant, chant, so wonderful to chant and take your bath in the Ganga. And this will make you into a proper human being." You know, sometimes we don't know really what we say. We feel inclined to say something. And you had said this, and then I don't remember what else he told me, but I remember this, coming out of the Ganga, chant, chant, and take your bath in the Ganga. This makes you a proper human being. And you don't know, I did it. And I have become a devotee. And then he goes with tear-filled eyes, zip, and pulls out a beebek out of his, you know, what is it called, pocket in his jacket. It says, "You saved my life. Please take this donation to me." And you know, and then you can't say, I don't know, you know, I don't remember. It's not the good thing to say, you know. So I said, yeah, oh, yes. Like that, you know, because you want to encourage. And but afterwards, when I was, he left me alone. He had to catch his flight, and I was there, and I was sitting in the Moscow airport, and I was just thinking, it works. I have received a gift, and I'm sharing the gift with others, and yes, this Indian gentleman, I don't remember the incident very clearly, but he must know, and it worked, and he has now a spiritual life. He has now a life of his own, a life which makes him very happy, which supports him, and which helps him to go further in his own development. So it works to be a teacher. And to be a teacher is simple. You can all become teachers. And in fact, I know that Srila Prabhupada had that perspective for all of his disciples and grand-disciples. Just the gift which you have, whatever you really have understood, don't talk theoretically, talk practically. Give that to others and you will see how wonderful that works. I was just talking to one of my disciples who is a yoga teacher and who meets many people in the yoga studios, and he develops a course now about mantra meditation where he wishes to take a few of the teachings in Living Name and share that in his country with the yoga crowd. And he said, what I sometimes see is that I'm telling these students who come to me about the Bhagavad Gita and about these things, and I see they take it very serious, and they become very enthusiastic themselves. And this is so absolutely encouraging to me, because I see it really works. And I was saying, yes, that's why I've become a preacher. To see that what you give, now what you yourself practice, works in others is so much strengthening your own faith in what you have, that you learn, and it helps you to develop another thing, which I want to share with you quite openly. One of the devotees, I believe it was Gopi Gita, asked me, "Has your perspective changed?" And there was one point I was shy to mention, but I want to mention it now. See, when you dedicate your life to doing good for others, something which is very dangerous in you becomes no longer so very dangerous. It's your ego. The moment you step out of this control of the ego and you just think, I don't care now about myself, I want to care about others, something wonderful happens. You develop genuine compassion and the ego melts under the sun of compassion. I have seen this. Krishna says that there's no one dearer to him in this world than the preacher. This ego is a leaky balloon, a balloon with holes, which needs constantly the air of attention, but constantly. The ego always, have I enough attention? But it's never enough because it leaks. It's a leaky balloon. Have you seen this in your own ego? You try to get attention. And you try that others become impressed by your, I don't know, by your dhoti, or by your how many likes you have on your social media, or in life, you know, that others say how absolutely stunning your haircut is, or you know, or your new beard, how it fits your physiognomy very nicely, and so on. But it's never enough, and there will always be someone who gets more attention, and then the ego develops enviousness on others. Do you know this also? Enviousness is like a spark in the human heart, and it can at any moment become a flame if you are not watching carefully and keep it and say, it's all right, it's all right, it's nice if others do well, it's not bad. So by becoming a preacher and just sharing the gifts you have attained, this leaky balloon, the ego balloon, shrinks, and then you put it to the side. No need to, you, and it's silent there. It lies. It doesn't want so much attention. At least not during the preaching thing. When you are active, when you are sharing, and you see how everyone is there. Of course, the ego sometimes jumps from behind in your back, and then you get again the ego. Oh, I'm such a good preacher! Wow. Watch out, he is not, he doesn't give up very easily, this leaky balloon. But when you do some preaching that is very helpful, sharing selflessly with others is very helpful for your spiritual life. And this is a secret in spiritual life. The secret of sharing spiritual knowledge is that the more you share, the more it increases in you. The more you share your gifts, the more you get. It's totally opposite. If you know, I'm suspecting I will get some gifts today evening, and when I give them away, I have no gifts. No gifts, empty, without any gifts. So, but in spiritual life, when you give away your gifts, then, my dear devotees, they increase and increase and increase, and they become very nice realizations. These are some of the reasons why I identify the most in being a teacher. I like giving retreats. I like giving seminars. I like to be invited in to kirtan events and try to share with the audience what I have learned about becoming more absorbed in the chanting. This is my life. I like to go and meet people and be in the field, really. This is also, this worked in the beginning. When I became a devotee, it was in London, And when I came back to Hamburg, where I studied at that time in the school, I mean, so-called studied, I was not very regular in the classes. But when I came back and I was so enthusiastic. I preached to my whole school. And I noticed when I was sharing with all the students who were challenging me, right? And, you know, Hamburg means challenge. But I became alive like this. And I learned this. Then I was for some time a translator. I stayed inside the temple to translate Srila Prabhupada's books. But then I came out of the temple with so much, you know, from my service of translating, I had picked up so many points in Srila Prabhupada's books, and I have preached or shared Krishna, shared the gifts which I had received up to this present day. I don't do anything else. This is why I get prasadam. So this is a little bit the role I identify most with. And therefore, I always, you will see tomorrow, I have stopped to accepting many disciples. I only accept few disciples because I want to understand, do they see me as a teacher? Or do they want to see me as a father who has a family and they join the family and so on? Or do they want to become my disciples because their best friend is my disciple? All these things. I want to know, do they want to learn? Do they want to accept my gifts which I have to give? And then only I'm willing to enter into this relationship, which I would say takes my independence away, because as a spiritual guide, I have to stay with a person for the rest of their life and care for them, pray for them, try to inspire them. So this is a very serious commitment which I go, and I need to first be convinced that they can see me as a teacher more than any other of the many roles. I only gave three roles today, but there are many other traditional roles. Please, in this lecture, which I will end now, I request you to take away one point. My conviction in sharing Krishna consciousness has become that my Krishna consciousness is increasing when I'm doing this. I'm becoming very serious about the things which I say. And I always have said, and if no one benefits from Sachinandan Swami's lectures, there's one person still who benefits. That's Sachinandan Swami. It increases. The knowledge which you give increases in you. It becomes very substantial and something. So I invite you all to become teachers. Yes. To open your mouth and much more your heart to the people. Because when you share Krishna consciousness with others, you know, they will want to know what is in your heart. They are not so interested what is in your mouth. Anyone can put big words in his mouth. It's very easy. You just read the big words and you repeat the big words. But they want to know what has been, what is in your heart, what are you convinced of. And when you speak, that will come to the hearts of others and touch them, like this man who saw young Sachinandan Brahmachari coming out of the Ganga, chant, totally convinced. I usually sing when I'm taking my bath. that I learned from my childhood. Germans sing in the bathroom traditionally, so I've never stopped this. Gaur Krishna knows when I'm in the bathroom, soon the music will start. And not when there are certain activities which are producing fragrances and so on. No, when it is clean activities. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And I've always seen the sharing is good. So please become, if you have gotten something valuable, if it is really you have gotten it, try to present it. You may have to learn the art of packaging it a little bit according to time, place and circumstance, so that it can be accepted by others. I have become very much convinced of this, and you can please try and see. It will be very good for you, and it will help you also to get rid of that leaky balloon of the ego. Hare Krishna. Dobro. Good. I will now secretly look at the wristwatch. I thought so. Let me just ask the question, is Syamananda Prabhu ready? Is there either Syamananda? Oh.
You are our secret. You may
disappear. Hare Krishna. Let me just, I need to just see with Gaurahari.